This is now our second year in a row, but my wife and I have been here on some of the other years as well. But to be able to see all of you and get to renew our friendships and acquaintances is such a blessing. Really appreciate the Sextons hosting the weekend, but also some of us who are staying with them, and gives us extra opportunity to fellowship and catch up with friends. Really great to be with you all here. I'm going to be setting up my computer, so I've got a little presentation to give. And as I'm getting into the topic, I just want to take time, make sure the technology is working well. Well, while I'm setting this up, let me just mention that in February, we're going to have a regional activity in the Tacoma area, our annual Olympia Tacoma Family Weekend, and we'll invite all of you from here to come and join us there February 18th and 19th. And there is a brochure on the information table, and we'll be sending announcements out in the next few weeks as well. So we hope to see all of you there. Brethren, as I've been considering what to bring to you on such an important day as this, when we're all together here, I started with a big topic, and over the last several weeks, I've been trying to narrow it down and make it something that is something that will be of benefit to all of you. This is a family weekend, and so I wanted something that would be helpful to our young people, but also encouraging to those of us who are grandparents and in the seventh or eighth decade of our life, in some cases, for some of you. And so my background is that of an artist, and so I'm trying to present something that is from a different perspective a little bit. A little bit of the sincere milk of the word for those who are young and new, but also as we get to the end of the message, there's some solid meat here for all of us. And so it's a very simple message, but I want to walk you through it very, very carefully and slowly, and help us to be able to benefit together from some very important principles that God has given to us. And so as an artist, I start with a basic line. It's like you're setting the horizon line on a painting. And here we have just a basic line. And I know some of you who are sitting on the edges may not have as good a view of the screen as you might wish, but you'll be able to see this later. I've got a handout that you could take a snapshot of if you'd like with your phone. But we start with a basic line for a good reason, because it takes us somewhere. We're going from somewhere to somewhere else. And so we just start with a basic element of design, and then we advance to the next idea that comes into it. And we see that this is a timeline, and I've put a few of the dates of the last several decades under this line, so it begins to give us a context. We're going from an earlier date to a date yet in the future. And of course, this is very basic, but you'll see how it develops, because something like this begins to touch each one of us. Whatever our age, whatever our background, we're going to be touched by what we see that develops through the Word of God that has to do with this timeline. But the timeline by itself, just moving along from year to year in a chronological way, doesn't give us a lot of information about how to apply a lesson or a principle in our life. And so if we begin to look at it from a different point of view and create not just a horizon line, but we begin to see a scale of up and down, we can begin to have a way to measure a trend or a change in the world's condition is where we're going over a period of time. And I think that this would be very important for us to realize as members of the body of Christ that things are changing around us. And so I wanted to present it in a way that I hope especially our young people can begin to comprehend more clearly than before. but our older ones too, to realize where we've been and where God is taking us. And so over the course of these years, something has been changing. And so we see a trend, and on the slide you can see this. There's a trend that starts at a higher level, and over the generations, and it's year by year, something very important is changing. And it's moving in a downward direction. And I think most of us would begin already to realize what this is that is changing in the span of our lifetime. Many of us are grandparents. How many here are grandparents? Look at this. So a significant number of us have seen things change over the course of years in our life. And how many of you are 20 or younger? And so we see most of you over here. So we see also a very significant number of us are younger. And so your perspective is very important. But your perspective is of a smaller section of time than for the rest of us who are now in our grandparenting years. And so for me, this timeline started in 1950 when I was born. And for you, you could put your starting point at any place along where you were born. And at that time, things in the world were at a certain level. And my life began to intersect with the conditions around me in the world as they were in 1950. And for many of you, that's ancient history. And for some of us, it's becoming history as well. But look at the context of our lives. In our formative years, in our early decade of life, as we're learning to talk and walk and read and gaining in knowledge and beginning to grow in stature and develop into the people that God has created us to be and to become, then over those first two decades of our life, we began to become aware of the world and aware of our place in the world. We began to see things from a perspective that is fresh and new to the older generations, and most of us in our early years will realize that we don't really want to be like the generation before us. Things are advancing in some ways, and so there's this continual turnover of younger people coming onto the scene as young adults and into their life. And stepping into roles of education and careers and family, and what a wonderful time that is. And things are very important for us as we become aware eventually by the time we're 20 or in our early 30s perhaps of the world around us. And this is my context. And I grew up in the 1950s, the 1960s, when the world around us was so very different than now. And then I just fill in the lines just to show the decades passing. And as the decades pass, notice that line on the red line on the top. That line is continually declining. And for the younger generation, that's not so obvious because they don't know through their own experience what has been before. They've heard from their parents or their grandparents, but they've not yet experienced it themselves. But all of us who are grandparents, all of us who are older, we can now look back and see that indeed the world is different than it was when we were growing up. I remember when I was very young and lived in far reaches of the world, and I had a lot of freedom to go and explore, and for 3 years of my life, from 9 to 12, I lived on an island south of Japan, and I was able to go with my friends and explore the jungles and have all sorts of adventures and go all the way across the island, riding the bus, just two little kids by herself, and being able to go down to the beaches and just have a freedom of movement, even at a young age. And none of us as parents or grandparents would even think of doing that now and letting our children be so free as that. But then where we lived, it was a different world, a different place, different time. And many things have changed, and we all begin to see this. And I think all of us have experienced this to some degree. But look at what happens when God reaches into this dark world around us and shines a light that begins to change our lives. For me, that came when I was 19 years old, and I was baptized in 1970, and my life changed from that point. This is where I'm beginning to go. We're getting now to some of the milk of the word, and it's going to lead us to a better and better place, because I want us to see what God is doing in our own lives and in his church and collectively among us. So for me, something changed. And in 1970, the world was at a particular level, and I'm going to use the word morality because it will encompass many of the things of the world. And we don't have to spend a lot of time to think of all the different aspects of morality and things that touch on that. But there was a certain basic morality in the world in 1970 when I was young and baptized and new to the faith. And for me, if I drew a line straight across, that's where the world was when God called me. Now for you, you put your date in and draw a line straight across. Maybe it was just last year when you were baptized, or maybe earlier than me. Wherever it was, just in your mind, draw that line and say, in that year, the world was at a certain level of morality. And let's read what God said about this as he called us out of the world. In Ephesians 4, we'll read a few verses here, and I'm going to ask you to hold your place in Ephesians. We'll be right back here in just a little while again. In Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 19, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." And so whatever point it is in your life when this change in direction began is such an important time of life. And some of you have not yet reached that point where you have been baptized, but all of us here look forward to that time when you will. And it is our prayer and hope that you will be called by God and answer that call, and that you will be able to make a chart like this of your lifetime as well. But we are to no longer walk as the world in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. So this is describing to me what it was like around me in 1970 when the world was at a better state than it is now, believe it or not. The morality of the world was somewhat significantly better in a general way than it is in 2016. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, they didn't know of these words of life and truth that you and I are blessed to know, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So, brethren, that describes the world. At whatever time, whatever country, whatever place in the world, from the time these words were written till now, this applies to all of us. This is not something that is unique to the United States of America. Wherever our people are in the world, and by the way, we have visitors today from Guadalajara, so all the way from Guadalajara to be here with us today. Some of the Parada family, we welcome them. But this is something that describes the world there too, as well as here. And so when we are called and that time of our baptism comes, we are called to change direction. But our direction is upward, not downward. I want to make this a very important point. I hope you will pay close attention to this part of the message, because from the point of our baptism and onward through the rest of our life, it's such an obvious thing, and yet it's good to point it out from time to time, that the direction that we are to walk is not downward. We are not called to walk and stay just a little above the morality of the world. God didn't call us for that, because if you look at that, if you see that chart and follow it out, then you would say that significantly great amount of loss would have been made in my life if I had taken that track, or in yours. And so God didn't call us to stay just a little bit above where the world is, did he? No, he didn't. He called us to something greater than that. Look at the top line now, because this gives us that upper reach. And we begin to move from the milk of the word to something so significant. We get to see where God wants us to be. Remember the verse in Matthew 5? Hold your place there in Ephesians. In Matthew 5, and such a familiar verse, but I want to see it in the context of this message. In verse 48, it says, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." God wants us to have a different pathway of our life, a different goal, a different trajectory, a different place we're going, for a better reason. And so God calls us to look up and to become perfect. And his level of desire for us to be perfect or complete is much, much higher than the morality or the righteousness of this world. It's far superior to that. And so God has given us that way to look up. Because where we began as baptized members, or when you reach that point in your life, it's not a steady state from there. That's not sufficient. If we were to stay at that state, then it's just a matter of not even moving forward. God wants us to move onward and upward and reaching towards something so much higher. And so we read in Ephesians 4, again, in verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct. God wants us to live a different way of life. Now, we all know this. We've heard it in many ways from messages at our local congregations. We've read it in articles. We've heard it in seminars. We know this, don't we? But sometimes I think if we just pay attention to something on paper and read it on the page, I think it will help us to really focus and clear all the clutter away and see what God is wanting us to do. It's not sufficient to stay the same. We have to put off the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Such an important thing. We have to individually take that action, choose to do different things, choose to have a different way of life, a different conduct than we had before. And for me, that started in this way in 1970. But this is what happens. Look at this part of the chart. I talked with a good friend about this, because God has called us to such a higher path of life, to such a different way of living and being, that it is a stark change in our life. And God expects that change to be almost instantaneous when we are baptized. Not in the sense that we've achieved all of the character and the growth that we need, but he wants us to be able to be immediately on a better path. I want to show you that in a couple of verses. In Acts 2 and verse 38, again, you know this one so well as in addition, Acts 2 verse 38, but I want to build the point to show a progression of what is expected of us and what is possible for us. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When we have that gift, our life changes. When God's Spirit is in us to that degree, we should no longer be walking anywhere along the path that is represented by that red line. We should be walking, the red line on the bottom, that is. We should be walking on the pathway that begins to rise toward becoming like our Father in heaven. And so we look at this and we see back in Ephesians where we were told on the one verse to put off our old way. Look what it shows us here. In verse 24 of Ephesians 4, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. When we were called and baptized and received that Spirit of God, it gives us the potential, and immediately in our lives, it gives us the way to become people who have true holiness in them. And so we could back this line up all the way to the time of Christ, and we could see the one and only example in all of history, in the scriptures of God, when there was a person who lived in true holiness. And that is, of course, Jesus Christ. And we can be like him. And in his mortal life on this earth, he lived as a man of true holiness. And God has called us to look to that standard and to rise in conduct to be like him and like our Father. And so immediately, once we are baptized, we should be on that path. And we shouldn't be like just coming into what it was like 10 years before us, or 20, or a decade, or a millennia. Well, we should be immediately looking to have the kind of conduct that Jesus Christ exemplified when he was here, to live our life in that way. And so I put that line straight up. When we change, there's a dramatic change in our life. At least there's the potential for it. And will we stumble? Yes. And will we have to ask for his help again and again and again? Yes. But our life should always be moving upward. And look at the top red line now. Maybe it's not a steady progression. If you're like me, you stumble and you have to get up again. And so we have these ups and downs, but it would always, always be above that red line of the world. Always. We can't drop down below that and be the kind of people that God wants us to be. But if we do, he's so merciful to help us. So I kept this line kind of going upward as the decades go by. For me, that began in 1970 with my baptism. And my life has had its ups and downs rather dramatically at times. But I'm trying, and I know you are, to be the kind of person that God wants us to be. And so our lives are on a different path. The world around us is always declining. And I really want our young people to understand this and to see it in Scripture and to know that it's not just an older generation saying, we had the good old days and you're being different. This is not a generational thing. This is something that is true for all generations. The world is always declining. And so this gap, represented on the blue line on the far right, that gap is always widening between God and the world. The world is declining. Let's read a couple verses. Are there others that could be added as well? 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. This is why I chose the word morality, because when we read verses like this, it puts it into the context of moral issues. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, that gap is always widening, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And God has called us to abide forever. What a great blessing to abide forever with the kind of relationship with him that he is making possible for us and has in my life and the life of so many others here and your friends and family and others we know in vast areas of the world. This gap between our character and the character of the world, between our morality and the morality of the world, the gap between you and the world should always be widening. There should always be a growing of higher moral values in our lives as the world declines. And brethren, that means that as time goes on, we stand out more and more. We become the brighter lights of the way of life that God has brought to us. We do stand out. You stand out from the world in the way you live and what you believe and how you treat one another and where you are going in your life. You stand out more every day than you did the day before and the year before. That there should always be a widening gap between us and the declining world, because we should be becoming perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect. And there's another gap in this. See, at the top, the gap between where we are now and the very top line that represents Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and forever, where we see that we are to become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. There's a line of achievement, of attaining of character through the Spirit of God working in us, through our living this way day by day and year by year in faithful growth and obedience to him. There's a gap that should be closing. We should be drawing nearer to God, more like Jesus Christ, and that gap should be narrowing every day and certainly every year. Let's look and see in Philippians 3. In Philippians 3, verse 8 through 11, Paul here is looking at his own journey. And he's encouraging others to see their journey in this same light. And he says, but indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. He's always pressing onward to gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul was on a trajectory and his lifetime to attain a high goal, to reach the goal of his high calling. And he's encouraging us to do that. And I love the words that he speaks to us in the verses that follow, and the encouragement he gives to us to live this way, even though in the world we are becoming more and more different than the world around us. Let's see the encouragement he gives to us. Beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. We need to be pressing on too. And for myself, as an illustration, just to put my life in a little perspective for you, and with your life there on the chart with the dates that match your journey, we can see that we press on for that high calling. He says in verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to have attained yet to that calling, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's describing the kind of life that we should be living. And that I look in this congregation of people today, and I see that in your life. And having been here last year, and having known some of you now for a few decades, I can see that growth. And to me, it's so encouraging, and I can feel it in my life too, because, brethren, it's real that we are attaining to something so beautiful and so wonderful and so high above the calling of the way this world lives. Brethren, these are encouraging things. I hope that we can see it, and I hope by putting it onto a simple one-page chart like this, that will help you to understand that in this chart, there are things that are the milk of the word for the new ones. And there are things here that touch on some of the most profound truths of God for those of us who are older, to give us the encouragement to keep moving forward and upward and never to turn back and never to let the world pull us back down, but always to let Jesus Christ lift us up and help us to be able to be the persons, the people that he has called us to be. If you'd like, I've got one copy of this. If you'd like later to come up and take a snapshot of it for your notes, you can do it and have the whole page. But I thought by putting it on one page and building that line by line for you, it might help you to have the perspective of seeing your lifetime in the way that God is working for you.